5 residential real estate acronyms you need to know. 5 residential real estate acronyms you need to know. I don't know why I want to do 5. That's 10, actually. I'm sorry. 5. If you're watching on the video, I did 10 accidentally, but that's 5 residential real estate acronyms you need to know to make you smarter, better purchaser of investment property and houses. DJ, will you please hit that music? Please. 5 seconds of music. 5.
Support for this program comes from the Digital Broadcasting Network, presenting podcasts and web series from everyday people who have an extraordinary passion to make the world a better place.
Hey, welcome back to The Real Estate of Life with Kevin Riles. This is your host, Kevin Riles. So last week, we talked about 5 commercial real estate acronyms that you need to know. Well, this week, we're going to do 5 residential real estate acronyms you need to know. I messed that up on purpose so I could say it, but I'm going to say it one more time just for the folks and to act like I played it off. You understand what I'm saying? No. 5 residential real estate acronyms you need to know. 5 residential real estate acronyms you need to know. So last week we talked about cap rate and NOI and IRR and those things. So this week, for those residential folks out there that are interested in purchasing a home or purchasing investment property, a single family investment property, I think there are some things that you need to know that we throw around in the industry and we talk about, but you may not be aware of. And this actually came to mind. I was actually watching a mortgage company commercial, there's a commercial out there for a large mortgage company. They're not paying me for sponsorship, so I'm not gonna mention their name. There's an actor in there that's, they start talking in acronyms, and the couple that's buying the house is looking at them like, what are they talking about? Like, oh my gosh. And so the whole gist of the commercial is this particular mortgage company can make the process easier because they will explain those things. So I thought the marketing campaign actually was pretty good, because we do tend to, in the industry, talk about things that are in our industry as far as acronyms are concerned, and the client doesn't know what we're talking about. And so this is my attempt to educate you, so you're an educated client, educated consumer, and you know what's going on. So with that being said, here are the 5 residential real estate acronyms that I want you to have a good understanding of. The first one being P and I. That's not peaches and herb. That's P, and that's the old school. Like, you have to be real old school to know what I just talked about, because even Mr. Producer looked like, oh my God. All right, that's in his 70s. Anyway, P and I, that's principal and interest. Principal and interest. When you purchase a property, and this is commercial or residential really, when you purchase a property, you're paying back a loan that has principal, where you're paying the principal and the interest on top of it. Most home loans are 30 years. And I will say right now, a lot of people don't know that you can do a home loan at 25 years, 20, 15, and 10. All that's typically advertised is 15 and 30. But I have had clients do 25 and 20 year loans as well. So P and I, principal and interest, that is literally what your monthly payment is. With just principal and interest. Now, most banks require, if you put less than 20% down, for you to escrow your taxes and insurance, right? Which brings me to my second acronym, which is PITI, which stands for pity. It's a pity I have to pay it. That was a joke. Hope you're laughing. Pity, PITI, which really stands for principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. Right, that's when you escrow your taxes and insurance, then your whole payment is your principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. PITI. It's a pity that you have to pay it. Second joke. All right. They say it's not a joke if you have to say that it's a joke, but I think that's funny. All right. So pity. So 9 times out of 10, you will see mortgage companies advertise, and they might say, you know, at a 5% interest rate, your monthly mortgage payment would be $1,000. Be careful, especially in Texas, but where we have a high property tax state, we don't have a income tax. That P&I payment is just your principal interest. It does not include your taxes and insurance. So you always want to make sure that you are looking at a particular property with its property insurance, I'm sorry, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, so that you know what the full payment is. I've had clients over the years call me and say, oh man, I just did I used the mortgage calculator online, and on this $300,000 house, my payment is only going to be $1,700 a month. Yeah, no, No, that's before taxes and insurance. What? What do you mean? PITI, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. So once you add your taxes and insurance on there, your mortgage payment is most likely going to be around $2,700 a month. Oh, I can't afford that. Right. That's why it's good to know what PI and PITI means, right? So principal and interest. Principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, PITI. The next one is PMI. PMI, which stands for private mortgage insurance. Private mortgage insurance. The best way, which is in addition to that PITI. So typically you pay principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. And that insurance is your homeowner's insurance. And also is if you put less than 20% down, PMI, which is private mortgage insurance. So the best way for me to explain what private mortgage insurance is, it is an insurance policy that you pay on behalf of your lender so that if you default, the lender gets a portion of their money back. All right, I'm going to repeat that. It is an insurance policy that the lender requires you to pay so that if you default, you don't pay your mortgage, you get foreclosed on, the lender gets a portion of their money back. So it is of no consequence, no benefit to you. It is a benefit to the lender. And what the lender is essentially saying is you put 5% down, or in the FHA's case, you put 3.5% down. And we don't trust that you would be able to possibly keep this until you have 20% equity in your loan. So we're going to take out an insurance policy that basically makes us whole if you default on the loan. Right. And so it was very popular back in the day to split up loans so that you avoided PMI. You could do an 80-15-5 with 80% first loan, a 15% second loan, and then you put 5% down to make the total 100. During the mortgage crisis, that kind of went away for a little while because a lot of those second loans got killed in the mortgage crisis as far as not being paid back. And so now you've also seen those start to come back a little bit where they split the loans. But more often than not, though, your PMI, your primary mortgage insurance, is a part of your conventional loan. And PMI rates on, a $200,000 house can be anywhere from $125 to $200 extra per month. And the PMI rate is based on your credit score, right? It's based on your credit score. So if your credit score is higher, your PMI rate is lower. If your credit score is lower, your PMI rate is higher. But a lot of people, they, okay, Kevin, yeah, I know about PITI, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. But then when we say PMI, and they see that, they didn't calculate that in their particular budget. So it's important that you know that that PMI is going to be there if you put less than 20% down. The reason it's less than 20% down, as it was explained to me many years ago, is that if you put 20% down, then the lender is pretty much protected. At least they have 20% equity, the thought is, if you should default. They at least have 20% equity so that they can resell the property and get their money back. But if you put less than that down, then the lender it has a riskier loan. So the PMI makes them feel a lot more comfortable in lending to someone that puts the less than 20% down. And PMI really used to be, many years ago, you couldn't buy a house without putting 20% down. You really couldn't buy a house without putting 20%. There was no 5% down. And so the advent of PMI correlates with the advent of putting 5% on FHA's case, 3.5% down. All right. So PNI, principal interest, PITI, PITI, principal interest, taxes, and insurance. Then you have PMI, private mortgage insurance. And then here in Texas, this is a Texas thing, especially a Texas suburbs thing. So for those of you that are not, that listen to me worldwide, because the real estate of life is worldwide, but this is a Texas thing. The next one is MUD, M-U-D, MUD, which stands for Municipal Utility District. Municipal Utility District. So what does that mean? If you live in one of the Texas cities, Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, Austin, and you live within the incorporated city, then more than likely you have your water and your sewer and all your utilities are given to you by the city and you pay them a monthly bill. If you live out in the suburbs or in some unincorporated areas, then what Texas has done is allow developers to form MUDs, Municipal Utility Districts. And essentially that is a mechanism in which the developer can go out and get debt in the market and build all of the infrastructure in a particular neighborhood. And so they can build the water and the sewer and the streets and things of that nature, and they're able to finance that debt. And so that debt becomes a part of your taxing structure. And so you pay your school taxes, you pay your city taxes, you pay your MUD taxes. And that MUD is basically the tax that allowed for your infrastructure to be built within your particular neighborhood. So you not only pay the tax, but of course you still pay your monthly water bill or water and sewer bill and things of that nature. So that is a unique thing here in Texas. I'm sure that in other states they have maybe something similar, but it also is what has allowed Texas to grow a lot faster and build a lot faster, because developers can go out into the private bond market, get debt to do these particular deals. But it also lends to higher property taxes. So for instance, the city of Houston's tax rate in the incorporated part of city of Houston is 2.7. Most of the areas that have 2.7 cents per $100 of assessed value. Most of the places that have MUDs, I would garner to say, and I don't think I'm wrong, that their rates are typically around 3.2 or above. And the reason is because they have that extra MUD tax, and the city of Houston, for instance, does not have a MUD tax. And so, therefore, when you see MUD, if a realtor says, hey, this is in a MUD, what they're telling you is that there's going to be a tax that you pay on a yearly basis, but there's also, of course, you're going to be paying your monthly utilities. So MUD, Municipal Utility District, is important to understand, especially, again, if you're here in Texas. Now, HOA, next one, right? HOA. So I've done PNI, PITI, PMI, MUD, and then there's HOA. HOA is Homeowners Association. Homeowners Association. For most of the neighborhoods in and around, and this is a nationwide thing, your house is located within a Homeowners Association, which basically means that when that house was developed or built, and that neighborhood was built, there's an association that basically is there to assist the homeowners, but also make sure that everyone is conforming to certain standards. There's a whole podcast we can do on the necessity of HOAs and how they can be great, but also not so great. But I've seen people out before showing real estate, and I'll say something about the HOA, and they'll say, well, what is the HOA, right? So HOA is a homeowners association, and you pay dues, typically yearly dues, to your HOA, and they typically maintain the medians, they maintain the front entrances to the neighborhood. They may maintain the sprinkler systems on the mediums, but they also make sure that your neighbors are not painting their house pink and putting trap house on them, like in Atlanta. 2 Chainz, I don't know if you, Mr. Producer, laughing in the background. 2 Chainz has a house in Atlanta that is pink and has trap house on it. And this is an extra bonus definition for those of you that may not know what a trap house is. Trap house is, back in the day when guys were selling illegal narcotics, that's where they did that out of the trap house. Or that's where they hit them, I should say. So a little urban dictionary out there for y'all. See, Real Estate of Life, we give you all kinds of definitions, right? You didn't know you were going to get trap house along with this. So with that being said, I make my last self laugh sometimes. So with that being said, your homeowners association duty is to basically help you keep your neighborhood's value up at the end of the day and maintain your neighborhood. And that comes from everything from safety to conformity. Some HOAs are way more aggressive than others as to, you know, literally putting a ruler on your grass to see if it is at the right height and then giving you a letter and finding you if it's not. I've seen HOAs like that. I've also seen HOAs that are that need to do a better job of making the neighbor's mind, as my grandmother would say. So with that being said, those are your 5, right? I'm gonna give you a bonus though. It's a bonus acronym just for you. I said 5, the title of this is 5, but I'm gonna give you 6, and that's not even including trap house. FHA, right? You heard me say earlier, FHA, and I realized I didn't put that on my list. So bonus acronym, FHA, Federal Housing Administration. So you hear people say, hey, I'm gonna get an FHA loan. FHA stands for Federal Housing Association, and that is a government organization that guarantees loans. They don't give loans, they guarantee loans. And so what does that mean? If you go to a large bank and say, hey, I wanna get an FHA mortgage, the government is basically, if you qualify for that mortgage, the government is basically says, if you default, Mr. Lender, we will pay a portion of your money. So it's like government-based PMI, That's essentially that is what it is a government-based PMI. And so because of that, the lender is willing to, instead of making you put 5 or 10% down, and they will allow you to put 3.5% down, all right? So FHA mortgages are used a lot of times by first-time home buyers, but they're not just for first-time home buyers. And so 3.5% down versus 5% down is a huge difference. And so FHA is a guarantee program that basically says that if this particular borrower defaults, Chase or Wells Fargo or any lender, then we will pay you a portion of your money. And so because of that, Chase or Wells Fargo or any bank says you don't have to put as much down because we know we will get our money back. All right. So that's your bonus acronym. So 5 residential real estate acronyms you need to know. I hope I made you smarter. I hope I made you better. I enjoy teaching. I love this podcast. I hope you do too. Please share it with your friends, your family, your mom, your dog, you know, all those particular people. And guess what? I will be back next week with more information, more guests, the real estate of life. I'm hype. I'm back. Thank you for listening. Hey, thanks for listening as always. Do you have questions about any of the topics I'm talking about? If you have questions, let me know. Email me at kevin@kevinriles.com. Again, that's kevin@kevinriles.com. I'm going to do a podcast just on the questions that you guys are sending me. So feel free to send them to me. Again, that's kevin@kevinriles.com.